Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Picking up where we left off, we got the stage set, literally the guy that's going to do the getting the stage ready. We may hear Cowboy Brad getting ready as we're getting this thing going. But the next thing we really need to talk about is the people that brought us into their community here tonight and talk through that story. And I'm just going to sit back and we're going to ask the speed round to Andrew and then David, and we're going to get to know their story. And as I kick this thing off, when you sent me the sermon last week of like the aura and the vibes coming together, I'm super excited for continuing this conversation. So Andrew and David, you guys ready to go with the speed round?
I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
All right. Andrew, what is your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is cranberry and tonic.
Cranberry and tonic.
A little mocktail. Yeah. Zero gravity.
How about you, David?
I like a good hoppy West Coast IPA.
There we go. Somebody who's not afraid to come out and say it.
All right. Andrew, your favorite place you've traveled?
Ireland.
Give us one story from that.
I got engaged in Ireland at the Prolique Dolmen, a 5,000-year-old sacred stone in between a sheep field and a golf course.
I was there.
You were there.
I can bear witness.
Indeed.
I would have to say a similar part of the world, Scotland, and specifically the Orkney Islands, which I think is pretty wild. I've been to twice to go participate and take in the Orkney Folk Music Festival, which is, you got to try really hard to get there. So if you're there, everyone is meant to be there. It's a really amazing experience.
Well, I'm definitely feeling the vibes, and Matt and I, our favorite passion, where we're going to get to next of what you guys like to do, is golf. And my favorite, I fell in love with golf in Scotland at Royal Dornoch at my best buddy's wedding, that he's now, I've dedicated the 19th hole of the golf course to Troy Meyer. Shout out to Troy Meyer. And Troy Meyer and I, we have this network of golfers and go on these golf trips, that my favorite place I've went on golf trips is Bandon Dunes. And I've been there twice, once with Troy Meyer and the other time with Matt McMullen. And so I'm definitely feeling the vibes of the different people that you figure out where you travel with. But Andrew, what's your favorite hobby or interest that outside of being the pastor?
My hobby du jour right now would be one-on-one basketball with my son at the YMCA. He's a total basketball fanatic, and that's how I move the most right now, even though it doesn't look like it.
Are you more of a ball handler or kind of post it up, back him down?
I'm
he's more of a pick set.
I could that is true. Yeah. I could still back him down in the low post, and you know, that's about all I got. One or two moves, that's it.
Hang on to it while you can. I'd have to say, and Andrew hears it a lot, I think I would be amiss to say anything other than cooking in all of its facets, from smoking barbecue meats to making sauces and coming up with recipes and certainly eating food.
All right, Andrew, what is your story that led you to being the senior pastor here where we're live at Pine Street Church?
Yeah, in 2017, I came out to do some guest speaking for Pine Street Church during what the Christians call Advent, and did that for two Sundays. Met my friend and colleague here, David, loved the congregation. They were in an interim period, so I was simply a preacher for two Sundays. But I loved kind of what you guys are talking about, the vibe and the bones of this sacred space physically, the bricks and mortar of it, and loved just sort of the raw material spiritually of the congregation. They cared about what they called being a Matthew 25 church, caring for the least of these. That spoke to me, and they were passionate about spirituality and the arts. And so those things were really what captivated my heart at the beginning about Pine Street. It was sort of a turnaround project. A lot of mainline Christian churches in America obviously have been in decline, and depending on what narrative you listen to, but I love the creative challenge of it from an organizational standpoint and just the spiritual richness of the place that has been here all along.
David, what is your story that led you being the executive administrator and director of worship and the arts here at Pine Street?
Well, the short is I sang as the bass section leader in the choir here at the invitation of a colleague at CU Boulder. This was circa 2007 when I started a graduate degree program in music performance there. It's what brought me to Colorado. Go Buffs. Sang in the choir for 3 years. Then the contemporary worship group found out that at one point in my life I played guitar, so they invited me to join that. Then the pastor said, hey, I know you're trying to be a professional musician, but would you like a regular paycheck for a while? Our office manager is retiring. And I said, hell, heck yeah. And the rest was kind of history. That was about 15 years ago. Within 3 years from that, I was invited to be the music director. When Andrew came, we kind of revisioned that to director of worship and arts, and bumped up. Executive administrator just means it's the only thing that matters is the fine print in the job description, which is all other duties as assigned. So I kind of imagined that I'd do a little bit of everything here. But partnering with Andrew, and he spoke perfectly and eloquently to what this place is and means to me and why I've been here for 15 years on staff, and couldn't really imagine being anywhere else. So,
well, it's pretty cool. When I walked in here today, it's like, where do I called? I was like, I'm on the street, and you're like, just come in the back. And I came in, and now I'm sitting here at this setting of the, you know, how you open the door of, like, you know, you had this art thing going, and I said, I got this new backdrop. I'm so excited to set up, and here we are to put this all together. All from Matt and I saying, how can we do shelter a different way and create these communities a different way? So I'm super excited to sit back of all the Art of Construction community listening to this. Matt's put together a few questions for you guys. Let's kick this thing off, Matt.
Yeah, so first I just want to say I came here in October of last year to a thing called the Common Good, which is a big theme, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I was so blown away by the day's activities and the speakers that were here. I was like, hey, man, I should come back on Sunday and just check this out. And I've been coming since October every Sunday and joined the congregation in January. And so you'll hear a little bit about that. And that's what I want to get into. Other than the fact that we have kick butt music, thanks to David and professional musicians that accompany him. Andrew, question I got for you is, and we'll get into the sermon in a little bit, but the guiding principles for Pine Street Church and the inclusion statement, common good, being the best church for Boulder that Boulder doesn't know it needs. But, you know, where that one way where it's like, you had me at hello. For me, you had me at inclusion statement.
Being able to figure out, and this has been a journey of discovery for us at Pine Street, of figuring out what is it that we are for? What is the alternative, constructive, spiritual identity that can contribute to the flourishing for all people, not just our little sectarian bunch, but the flourishing of all human beings made in the divine image? And one of the things that Matt and I've talked about a lot, and he's encouraged me, because I think this was a big hook for you in coming to Pine Street here in Boulder, was our inclusion statement. And we now are saying it at every public event. We'll say it tonight before the concert, but we believe that all human beings are made in the divine image. And every Sunday we say we invite and welcome all to participate and partner in celebration across gender identity, age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, cognitive and physical abilities, educational background, and socioeconomic situation. So a lot of what we're about tonight in partnering with Trailhead and being here for this benefit concert for this new community coming to Boulder, Victory Village, is a beautiful intersection of inclusion and making a contribution for the common good.
And the other thing, too, is just the way, and we'll get to David here in a second, but the way the music is tied in, you know. Yeah, you know, the Dancing in the Jaws of the Dragon. Yeah, we had a concert here that was literally covering the entire album, which is an amazing album. And then last week's sermon was really about David Wilcox, you know, in a place at the crowded table. And so if, you know, people are music people, they'll know those references. Can you talk a little bit? I'm going to jump the shark here a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about the sermon and what you talked about, how you tied it together so beautifully?
Well, we first of all have to talk about a geeky Greek word called paraclete, which basically means advocate or comforter, right, in John's gospel. And Matt, being the spiritually acute person that he is, said, "Hey, I really loved what you said today about parakeets. That was awesome."
I totally followed you until you started talking about parakeets.
So you're helping me remember that. Thinking about that, a big takeaway for Sunday was using this text where Jesus says, if, you know, being kind of a church nerd, pastor person, thinking about what are divine promises, that can get a little heady and weird sometimes with certain preachers. But what I love about what Jesus says of a promise in John, he says, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned." And I thought about families and parents in the IDD community who are worried about their kids and what will happen to them after they die. And I don't know what the stats are, Matt, you might know, but there is a significant percentage of parents over the age of 60 years old taking care of their children with IDD in the IDD community. So thinking about "I will not leave you orphaned," to me, this is a bricks and mortar campaign of the Spirit in a certain way. And I think the message of "you will not be left without a home, you will not be left without neighbors, you will not be left out," period, is a powerful part of who we are as a spiritual community and what I see happening with the Trailhead community.
And now we're going to turn our attention to Victory Village. Can you talk about your connection to Andy and Connie and their daughter Kendra and Trailhead Community in Victory Village? Because Andy and Connie brought me into, you know, they trusted me, didn't I think fully get all my humor, but trusted me to come into the congregation and were really the ones who introduced me to Pine Street Church.
Well, Matt, you're not only an architect, you're a social architect and you're a connector. Anyone who knows you knows that. It's stating the obvious. And I think the Mendens have connected us. Connie and Andy came to Pine Street a few years ago on their own kind of spiritual quest and spiritual journey. We talk a lot in our own community about faith deconstruction. You guys are in the construction business. There's also this deconstruction component in terms of theology and spirituality for people, meaning, you know, the things that have worked for us in the past, spiritually, theologically, in terms of the way we think about God, ourselves, the Bible, may not be working for us anymore. And what do we do when we leave certain stages of faith? And we were delighted and grateful to meet Connie and Andy when they were searching in a time of transition. We call them thresholds, in a threshold time of their life a few years ago. And welcoming Connie and Andy and Kendra to Pine Street has been a great gift to us. Andy's now the moderator of our leadership council, which in popular parlance is the chair of the board of the church, and doing amazing work. So we're just grateful to have their family here and to be connected and be on the journey together.
So we asked this of Brad, cowboybrad.com. I would be remiss if I didn't say that at least once during the podcast. You can find him at cowboybrad.com, and you'll hear that during the concert tonight. But I asked Brad, I said, what was the impact last Thursday night, or last Thursday afternoon, when he went down to visit Trailhead Community, and we were fortunate enough that you and David were able to take time out of your busy schedules to come down there with us. Can you talk a little bit about your experience, Andrew, when you walked through that?
I think to be able to see a community fully grown in real time was poignant and really powerful to be able to humanize something that can get lost in abstractions. I think just being there, knowing the story, knowing the "when pigs fly" story, you know, this community will happen when pigs fly, someone said.
Yeah, that was Barb Ziegler's thing. She talked to a bunch of bankers and people, and they said, this project will happen when pigs fly. So our first gala, which, and then at Christmas time, we had these pigs with wings ornaments, and that was what the Christmas tree inside Trailhead Community was decorated with.
Yeah, just seeing sort of the comprehensive, the holistic care. To think about, a big takeaway for me, a learning, was realizing how many of the adult children who are otherwise would be without a home, or maybe be homeless, to be able to have stable housing and to be able to give them that foundation is the basis for everything else, you know, a job, independence, flourishing in all of the ways. So to see that it was a really quiet day, like, during the day, because the residents were at work. Another thing that stands out to me is just the integrated, intentional community part where, you know, there are other neighbors living in common there, senior adults living there, people who are neurotypical living in the community together. That's a beautiful vision. If I were a pastor, I would say that's sort of like the kingdom of God on earth.
So I want to jump here and share a little story of the vibes that we're sitting here. I think about it was like the same round table. I walked into the Nuts and Bolts conference in Colorado Springs back to the when we kicked this thing off. And we started having this conversation. And typically, the Art of Construction podcast, as this is going to be launched right around episode 400, majority of them have been around how to better construct buildings. And it was at that conference I had this like aha moment of, and it had nothing to do with the podcast. The podcast was sharing barbs and pigs are going to fly, which is what they did and all those cool stuff. But they had these breakout rooms, and I'm sitting in these breakout rooms and listening to these conversations, and they had the builder and all these people, and it was all these people that don't know construction, and they were like begging to figure out how to hire someone to execute their vision, and it was to take care of their family. And I'll never forget, Matt asked me to come up on the stage because I didn't have the heartstrings of, I have my daughter Eva, and I don't have that connection. But boy, like, we interviewed Barb's daughter, and I was feeling the vibes. And then I looked at Matt, and I was like, Matt, you got to go all in on this. And here we are tonight. How are you doing it?
Yeah, this is the last chapter for me, man. I'm not planning on kicking anytime soon, but this is the last chapter. This is meaningful work.
So I'm super proud of you. And then I walked in here tonight, and I walk in, and David, you know, we're always cool, calm, and collected, and I had my car full of this whole banner thing, and I'm like, I'm trying to set up this new thing to take Art of Construction to the next level, and David and I stopped, and there's a guy putting the cover on the electrical panel. And I looked at David and I said, everything's good for tonight? He's like, oh, it's great. And he's like, you know, we could talk about the construction part of like this beautiful building I walked into, but with a 100-year-old building, how do you power Cowboy Brad to step up on stage and have as much fun as possible? And he said, yeah, we could talk about the electrical all night long right now of like how to build the building. But that's not the power of the story. The power of the story is our roles within the story, which is what I think you do here. So before that, like, Matt, thanks for being the leader of the tribe here tonight. But you and I as leaders, vision without traction is a hallucination. So we have to have the people that put that together.
So we're going to turn our attention to David right now. And I'm going to focus less on his role as director of facility and on his role as music and arts director, because getting to know David has been an absolute pleasure and an honor for me. You're not going to find better human beings than the folks in this building and in this congregation. And so when I first joined, we started talking about kind of like, what is his vision? Like, what does he see Pine Street Church becoming? And so I'm not going to give it away. Like, I want to have you talk about your role at Pine Street Church here and how music and arts integrates into Pine Street Church's mission.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, my path into a role here in this community was through music. I have been pursuing music in some way, shape, or form my entire life, ever since I can really remember. And particularly singing in choirs. For middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, I auditioned for, was accepted to, and attended a professional boy choir school, the American Boy Choir School, that was in Princeton, New Jersey. I lived there for the entire school year in a dormitory. We toured on a bus throughout the country 12 weeks of the year, sang with every major orchestra in the world. We were the boy choir on call for the New York Philharmonic. Hey, we're doing Mahler's Eighth Symphony. We need a boy choir. We would get the music, learn it in the morning, get on a bus and go sing it in Lincoln Center that night. And little did I know, when I was 12 years old, my musical career peaked, because I probably will not be singing at Lincoln Center again soon, or with the New York Philharmonic or anything like that.
Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, let me stop you there, because anybody who decides to come to Pine Street Church on Sundays at 10 will hear David sing. And he's an incredible voice and a great guitar player. But his voice is like, I'm going to go back some years, is like the dude from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and also like Michael McDonald. He has that power of voice.
I would say that that kicked me off on a path, knowing or unknowing, definitely having music at the heart of my professional, spiritual, social journey. After three rigid military school type of years at the American Boy Choir, you could imagine having 80, you know, middle school age boys trying to put them out into the world and have them seem professional. You have to have pretty strict rules and regulations and schedules and all that stuff. It was akin to military school, and maybe I would have rebelled anyway, but certainly into high school, I grew my hair out. I still have long hair. I picked up an electric guitar. I started playing rock and roll and listening to Pink Floyd, and my musical tastes expanded and started, instead of performing in concerts, going to concerts. And as much and as amazing as and transcendent as singing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, you know, the joyful, joyful, we adore thee, the most, one of the most recognizable melodies in the history of musical composition. It really was in being an audience member where I started to discover, like, oh, this is the most amazing and fulfilling path to transcendent experience, to getting closer to a higher power, however you want to say it. We say a prayer every Sunday morning as we start our time together. I open my heart, I open my mind, fully present, I enter the thin places within and without. The thin places being where you can kind of reach out and you reach some sort of state that you don't experience on your day-to-day basis, and unless you're lucky. And so it was at that point I kind of decided, well, this experience is something that I want everyone to experience. And I have this background and training in performing, and so I'm going to commit myself to, in one way, shape, or form, trying to help facilitate that experience, that spiritual ecstasy, so to speak, for as many people as possible, and as authentically and meaningfully as possible. I never in this, you know, formative time in my life thought, and I will be the director of worship and arts at a church one day. That was never in my sights. And I remember at my graduate exit exams from CU, my graduate committee, I had three professors, they told me I passed my comprehensive exams. Instead of a dissertation, I did a recital. They said, you pass that with flying colors. Now, what's your plan? And I said, wow, I guess I'll go and try and audition for opera companies and things like that, kind of not fully formed around what that was. And one of the professors said, have you ever thought about working for a church? And I kind of looked at them sideways, and they all three looked at each other and nodded vigorously. You would be great sharing your music in a church. And at the moment, I was like, I felt a little taken aback. I'm like, I just went through three years of grad school basically preparing to be a classical performer touring the world, and now you're saying I should be a church musician. And I was like, all right, okay, whatever, and went along. And it was within 3 years I was working for a church and tapping into this creative reservoir of sharing music with people from a base of spirituality. Yeah. And very explicitly, and all of a sudden had an epiphany, like, this is it. This is what I am meant to do and want to do. And so I love how my role as director of worship and arts and music and all that flows into, you know, the director of the building and whatnot, because it's that facilitation that I think that's there's something there that lies in the empowerment and enablement of other people to do what they're trying to do. Tonight is a great example. You came in and you asked me, and I said, I would love to have a concert series here and do concerts where this place is filled on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, and tonight on a Thursday night, it will be very full. And I'm incredibly grateful, because this really is the fulfillment of a dream and vision of mine. And wherever it goes from here, it can only be good. So
I just have to make an observation. I think this is the first time that ecstasy has ever been used, the word ecstasy, on our construction podcast. So kudos to you, and especially from a man of spirituality. A little bit, you started getting that a little bit about this becoming an events venue and a community hub for the common good. And just talk a little bit, maybe just briefly about how that supports the common good in the mission of the congregation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a growing sentiment among, in particular, old downtown Protestant church communities and buildings. You have these often 100-plus-year-old facilities that are often declining in their maintenance and ability to be used, and they're used primarily on Sunday mornings for 1 hour and then empty for the rest of the time. And it feels like a disservice to the idea of community, a congregation, a church community, a Christian community, whatever adjective you want to put in front of that, to have this physical space that offers so much opportunity to really flourish and really be impactful in the community. And so this idea of this church building, Pine Street Church, on the corner of 13th and Pine Street, right in downtown Boulder, we're three blocks away from the Pearl Street Mall, across the street from the historic Boulderado Hotel. Mm-hmm. That we're right in the middle of all this stuff. The Boulder Theater, you walk 100 feet to the south of us and you can see the marquee of the Boulder Theater. E-Town Hall is two blocks away. And just the idea that we could be a part of that, of this community linking and common good with other communities physically and spiritually around us, feels like it's something that really, it increases by an exponential magnitude, its impact, if we really work together to do these things, to know our neighbors, not just say we love and welcome our neighbors, but to get to know them and to do like them. So that's kind of my vision for what this physical space could be. And it's you can't separate the physical space from, I would say, the spiritual community. Mm-hmm. They really go together. And Devin, I love you recognizing this sort of spiritual architecture and physical architecture, and that constructing things, whether it's with a hammer and a nail and wood, or whether it's with networking and getting people a guitar string and a projector on a screen. Yeah. That these things are really all very much connected.
Right. And as we work to close this thing out, that was kind of the key part of this conversation, was like, wait, the art of construction needs to be more than just constructing buildings. And I think this deep dive of like Matt coming in as a lifelong learner, say, Devin, it's the operation of these buildings, whether they're 2 days old or 200 years old. How do you manage that, right? And so we always ask these questions because we're always pushing about the future. And the older I get, and as I had to put on glasses here to read this stuff and trying to figure this out, as you know, you said the days, some days can be long and the months. I say some days can be long, but boy, the years are short as we figure this thing out of the great game of business. And if you're always trying to shoot to the long thing, how do you figure it out? And so I'm going to give one quick story of how I started my morning. And then I'm going to challenge you guys if we're kind of switching the questions we always ask, which the question I've asked almost 400 times is, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction? Because I've always thought that is the way to fast track that. And then, but this morning we're working on adding new sales team to my window and door company. And I went in there and I started talking about our core values and all this stuff. And I gave the presentation of like, this is someone from the competitor coming into us. And it's always this challenging situation. Is it better being at our church or my window company or your window company, and who's all open to everybody? And construction, let's face it, is really hard. It's like this segmented world of somebody builds this thing that you're hoping it's close. I hope the lights just turn on when this is finally done and just make it done, to then you not got to make operating it, right? And so it's this new journey of like, it's always one of our core values. The first core values we always had was get stuff done. And when I'm really frustrated, I use another word for the get stuff done. And Matt McMullen, we decided, we were at Bandon Dunes playing golf. And he said, you know what, Devin, this art of construction thing, it's going to, your window company and art of construction and what we're doing with, at the time, we didn't have the whole system built construction. It was just, we got to do this a different way. And I said, well, Matt, why don't you just come in and let's like use the window company to try to help be more inclusive to construction, right? And Matt came in, and I'll never forget, there was two things we did, and we talked about this. The first podcast Matt was ever on The Art of Construction, it's titled Eliminate the Muda. And I had to ask him after the podcast, what does Muda mean? And it's waste. And at the end of the day, the world is just full of waste right now, I think, in the news, so, and how fast things move. And so fast track mini podcasts later, and Matt is the GM of Mountain View, and we're switching to the art of construction. And I'm just really proud to be here to be this leader of the voice of Matt finding his passion and putting this all together. And yes, he's going to build a beautiful building, but more importantly, it's the people that are going to be part of that building. And Matt came in, and two things that as a lifelong learner, he said, Devin, if I'm going to help you with the window company, I'm never going to learn windows and doors, but I'm going to help you with this business. And we have to figure out a customer continuum of care, cradled and all that. We settled on the customer care wheel. But that led to the key thing when he sat down, and Matt said, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, Devin, I love how you just go every day to get stuff done. But you know what? And P.S., this was a live story this morning when I was recruiting this guy to come work for us. And I said, I hope you sell the most windows and you beat everybody. And I hope we get a lot of stuff done. But as Matt McMullen taught me, he said, Devin, you got to do a little T before you GSD. And that little T stands for thoughtfully getting stuff done. And so as the future of my crystal ball of this future of technology and construction, I think it's pretty crazy we're sitting here right today. If you look at the news and AI and what, how fast everything's racing, we're just going to slow down and go have as much fun as possible. And we're going to close this podcast out with the people that really, at the end of the day, bringing the funding and everything coming to make this thing happen, to go have as much fun as possible. I'm really curious. I asked Cowboy Brad, and I'm going to ask you guys to close this out. And then the third leg of the stool, we're going to have that conversation. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction? And what does construction mean to you from the story I just said?
I'll be brief, which is unusual for me. You're not just building buildings. Matt's just not an architect. He's a social architect. He's a people person. So we're not just building buildings, we're building the world we're going to live in. And to make it one where everyone has a place. And do we design for connection or do we design for isolation? It's easy to get insular. I'm someone who can do that. Get in, you know, by myself, hole up. But it's in community where the flourishing happens, where the magic happens, where the healing happens. And I think some of that is we just don't leave people behind. Matt, you mentioned earlier, it's actually Brandi Carlile, not David Wilcox, both of them last week. Yeah. But Brandi Carlile with the High Women, who sings the song Crowded Table, which we sing a lot around here. I want a house with a crowded table. and room for everyone. And I think that is the power of spirituality, and that is the power of the art of construction, whether that's bricks and mortar or building community.
Yeah, I love, first of all, I love the idea of technology and construction, or really and anything. I think that is the issue of our time. You mentioned a few, and I won't dive into that per se, but I will say I'm also fascinated by the construction of community authentically and with integrity requires building structure that holds things up but doesn't block things off. So it's very different from, say, a green building in Boulder, Colorado, that's as airtight as anything. It's something that you send to the moon. There has to be room to breathe within these structures, but it can't be structureless, or else it just blows away in the wind, the three little pigs, right? So, and again, a thing that I never expected to be delving into or learning about or interested in, it's been a real journey for me over the past 15 years or so, being a part of that in a community and having different leadership come through over the years and settling in and linking arms with Andrew here. And we've gotten to delve into that from a philosophical standpoint. But I think it's one of the most critical elements of it. And it's the most difficult things too. And it's probably, it's one of those things that's like really easy to do, but it's actually really hard, right? Like it's not, you're not breaking records in deadlifting, you know. It's more like the subtlety of it is complex and layered, and you have to find a space where you can really do that really well, because it's so easy to tip off the scale in any direction for some things that we say are very important to us. I mentioned authenticity, like how do you build community authentically without being overprescribed, putting too many lines on your drawing and too many turn signals on your map. It's a challenge, but it's also a creative and inspiring endeavor that I'm honored to be a part of this conversation here with you, Devin. And I'm definitely going to be tuning in to AOC here because I love the angle that you come at this from. There's a little card. Father's Day is coming up. I have a six-year-old, and last year, in his last year of preschool, they had him fill out a questionnaire about their dad, and I found it in a pile of papers on my desk the other day. I pulled it out, and the last question was, "What is your dad good at?" And it said, "Fixing houses." And I think at the time I was attempting to do like a little bathroom remodel myself, but that's what he got out of that. And so I was really grateful. And this kind of stuff piques my interest, so I'll definitely be tuning in, and thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for allowing us to come in here and letting me jump into kind of, I love capturing these stories right when they're about to happen. So thanks for letting us be here.